I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. Joining us on the line is Cully Stimson. Cully has served as a prosecutor in San Diego, I believe in Maryland as well, and also as an assistant United States attorney known as a policy expert in crime control. And he recently wrote an opinion piece in the Daily Signal about rogue prosecutors Gascon and Bowden panicking over recall elections. Now, why is this important to us? A lot of the policies put forth by these two individuals are very similar to those being articulated by Jason Williams, our DA here in the city of New Orleans. And we know where our crime stats are going, and I think you'll be surprised to hear where they're – you won't be surprised, excuse me, to hear where – these crime stats in Gascon and Bowden's areas are going either. Cully, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
So, Cully, it seems as though both of these individuals facing recall, one definitely facing a recall, the other one a strong possibility that they will, blaming everybody but themselves for the predicament that they find themselves in.
Yeah, so they're part of the Soros bought and paid for rogue prosecutor movement. And Gascon is the DA there in LA. And the moment he was sworn in, he issued this flurry of special directives, basically orders to his DAs, basically to enact pro-criminal policies like don't ask for bail, don't bring any youths who commit murder into adult court, don't add any gang enhancements or any other required mandatory enhancements on prior felons. The list goes on and on. And Chesa Boudin, who is, by the way, the son of the Weather Underground couple, you can't make this stuff up, is the DA in San Francisco, and he doesn't charge people for stealing $950 out of stuff out of stores, no armed carjacking charges, et cetera. The liberals in those cities, not conservatives, not Heritage Foundation, not Fox News, the liberals in those cities said, whoa. The people who are committing these crimes are terrorizing our communities. And so they're the ones behind these recalls, and they're the ones who are funding it, the tech liberal billionaires funding these recalls because they're like, we didn't vote for this, and that's what's happening.
So what happened? I mean, how was the constituency bamboozled? I mean, they've articulated these progressive policies during the election. I always say that you campaign in poetry and you govern in prose. But did they think that this was just touchy-feely, but it wasn't to the extent where this is? Or are they now seeing what practically happens when you do these things?
Well, it's a little bit of both. So when they ran, remember that the first rogue prosecutor elected was after the George Floyd disaster, and it was Kim Fox in Chicago. And she used the Soros talking points. And when I mean Soros, I mean they literally gave them $1 million or more. That's where the majority of their money came from. They're proud of it, by the way. And they talk about happy things like reimagining prosecution and over-policing and mass incarceration, all these poll-tested buzzwords that progressives in cities find attractive. And so they didn't roll out detailed policy proposals, which, by the way, they had in draft form when they were running. They just used these platitudes that would appeal to progressives and liberals in cities who, by the way, want safe streets, who want their kids to be able to walk safely to and from school, who want law and order just like the rest of everybody else. And so they get in there, and then the second they get in there, they unleash this wave of pro-criminal, anti-victim policies, and they way overplayed their hands, and that's why they're hearing back from the voters.
So a lot of the detractors to this recall are saying that this is an attempt to end democracy. That one mystifies me. So where are they going with that?
Well, they're unhappy that they're getting graded for their horrible policies. And, of course, this is the antithesis of the end of democracy. This is democracy in action. California passed through the state legislature rules for recalls. You can find it on our Daily Signal blog, or you can go to the hyperlink and read the procedures for recalling state officials prepared by the Office of the Secretary of State. And the preface of that's really interesting. It says, quote, "Recall is the power of the voters to remove elected officials before their terms expire. It has been a fundamental part of our governmental system since 1911 and has been used by voters to express their dissatisfaction with their elected representatives," unquote. This is the essence of democracy. The fact that they don't like it is tough tootsie, but it's the way the California legislature passed it, and it's what the California people want.
So a number of the arguments that the detractors are making is that these are one-off prosecutions that have inflamed the electorate, and that's what recall elections shouldn't be about. That it should be about misfeasance or malfeasance or corruption. I've always said
yeah.
that if you're running for office and you know the legislature passes laws and that's the branch responsible for that, and they pass the sentencing requirements as well, that in the exercise of your discretion is whether or not you want to accept the case, not whether or not, you know, a case that stands on all fours presented by the police department, and you just wholesale say, well, I'm not prosecuting these cases because I don't believe in them. I think that's malfeasance.
Well, it's prosecutorial nullification is what
sure.
it is. See what these people are doing. And they have a playbook. They all operate from the same playbook. That's why Zach Smith and I, my co-author, write a book on it, is they have, with the wave of a wand and no authority, decided that entire categories, not one-offs, entire categories of crime they're not going to prosecute. So like Rachel Rollins in Boston, the then DA and now U.S. attorney appointed by Biden for the state of Massachusetts, listed 15 crimes you can commit in Boston. Breaking and entering, possession with intent to distribute, any drug, resisting arrest. All these rogue DAs, by the way, love not charging resisting arrest. That's a big morale booster with the police, by the way.
Yeah.
So when you wave a wand and ignore the express law, you're not engaged in prosecutorial discretion. I know what prosecutorial discretion is. Prosecutorial discretion is when on a case-by-case basis you decide in the interest of justice – and who this person is and what their criminal record is, if any, that you may divert. You may send them to a drug court or domestic violence court, or you may send them to a diversionary program. Or a plea bargain, yeah. You don't have the authority. You're violating the separation of powers, which is your point. You're Article II. You're the executive branch. So all your job is to is faithfully enforce the law. You don't get to make or ignore the laws.
So where do we go? I mean, obviously, they have this option, this recall. A lot of states don't have that option.
They don't. And so I think what people need to do is wake up. They need to wake up and pay attention to these DA races, just like people are now realizing you got to wake up and pay attention to these school board election races, which were always low visibility, low voter turnout races. There's 2,300 DA offices around the country. 95% of incumbents win re-election, but when challenged, a lot of them fold. And the buy-in for these DA races is really low, except in bigger cities. And so if the people running for DA, well, first off, pay attention to the race. And secondly, if any one of them is taking any Soros money or money from any Soros PACs like Fair and Just Prosecution or any of these state PACs, you know that it is a rigged election. You know that they're going to be a rogue prosecutor. And you should ask them questions. What crimes are you going to refuse to prosecute if you're elected? Because they already know. They have to go by the playbook. So pay attention, people. Wake up, because law and order is not political. It's not left or right. It's not conservative or liberal. It's law and order on the one side and chaos on the other. And by the way, a lot of these big CDAs races, the Democrats are going to win. That's fine. Prosecution is not political. Shouldn't be.
No.
But get the person who is a law and order person, not the person who's for chaos.
You know, I often say that the prosecution and the incarceration, we talk about over-criminalization, over-incarceration in this country, but those are byproducts, right? Those are byproducts of a criminal act that has occurred. The police, and a lot of this misinformation around this, is that folks really believe that the vast majority of arrests made in this country are as a result of proactive policing. Having been in law enforcement 40 years and 10 years as an elected sheriff, I know much to the contrary, that 99.9% of the arrests made in this country are reactive. We have a victim who tells us about what happened, the facts and circumstances of the case in many cases, and they give us general demographic data about the perpetrator, and we go out and seek the bad guy and make a case. And the cases that we present to the DA, as you well know, have to reach the threshold standard of probable cause.
Right.
Everything else from that flows from the arrest, right? And so what they do is the byproduct of a criminal act. And that's what
right.
I don't understand. Folks, we're not making these connections as though the system is working against them. No. The system is responding to the taxpayers.
Yeah. Now, look, last time you had me on your show, which I very much appreciate, we talked about this myth of mass incarceration. As you remember from your career, the peak of incarceration and crime in our country was 92, 93, 94. Mm-hmm. It's gone down dramatically for the last 25, 30 years. Not only crime rates, and especially violent crime rates, but incarceration rates. There's about 120,000, 30,000 people in federal pen, about a little over a million in the state prison systems. But the vast majority of those people, a super majority of those people are in for violent crimes. You got to work really hard to get to state prison these days. You got to work really hard at being a criminal. And so, what are we supposed to do with the 21,000 murderers who were convicted of murder in 2021? We had more people convicted of more people were murdered in our country last year than all of Europe combined. What are we supposed to do to them? Give them a lollipop and tell them don't do it again and go home? So we have a violent crime problem. But it's nothing compared to the way it was in 1992, 3, and 4. And the reason those numbers have gone down, and you know this because you played a part, you played your role like I played my role, is because the real progressive prosecutors, the real reformers, are people like you and me who created alternatives to incarceration, who believed in and stood up drug courts, who believed in and stood up domestic violence courts, who believed in the power of the human person to change and get on the right track if you give them the incentive to do the right thing. The dignity of work, we believe in that. And so these so-called progressive prosecutors, I call them rogue prosecutors, there's nothing progressive about them at all. They're just engaged in prosecutorial nullification. And the sad irony here is that the very people they pretend to care the most about, black and brown minorities, are the people that are getting slaughtered under their policies. And that's why those families of those people are recalling them.
No, absolutely. Look, in my jurisdiction, I haven't been there going on almost 5 years now. posted the lowest crime rate year since the beginning of the collection of UCR crime data, 1974. Mm-hmm. Last year, lowest crime rate year since 1974. And, you know, And the numbers of incarceration, just so you can, anybody can go look at the chart. The FBI's got them up. You can go to FBI.gov, see it. You know, the number of incarcerations have gone down. Now, what happened in the 90s, as you well know, was the Omnibus Crime Bill, right? And as a result of Bill Clinton's passage of that bill, what happened? We put more cops on the street. We had a more directed approach to selectively incapacitate the impact criminal. We had more criminal intelligence that was being collected and disseminated amongst the troops. And we went out and we got the bad guys for violent crime and we put them in jail. And every year since then, I think there's one anomaly year that crime in this country actually went up since like 1993, 94. Am I wrong?
Correct.
I think
you're spot on. You're spot on. And, you know, this talking point that, well, crime has gone up everywhere around the country, that's a bunch of horse hockey. That's just not true. That's them pretending that these policies have nothing to do with the crime rates in their cities. Let me give you a comparison. The seventh largest city in this country is tied between Philadelphia and San Diego. Philadelphia has a bought and paid for rogue prosecutor named Larry Krasner. He's a career defense lawyer. He called when he was elected, when he got elected DA, he called it being a public defender with power. That's how he describes himself as a DA. Same size city as San Diego, but you got this rogue prosecutor, Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. San Diego, on the other hand, has a normal person. They have a real prosecutor, an independent gal named Summer Steffen. She's a Cuban, I think, background. Great gal. She just enforces the law fairly. She uses drug courts, domestic violence courts, all the diversionary programs. Now, they have Tijuana, 12 miles south of downtown San Diego. They have L.A. to the north. So you have real challenges with drug problems, gang problems, et cetera. Philadelphia last year, over 550 murders. San Diego, 50. 10 times more murders in Philadelphia, in large part because Larry Krasner takes a pro-criminal approach and Summer Steffen takes a pro-victim law and order approach.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to say after that, right?
Not really.
Not at all. Cully Stimson, as always, truly appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great weekend, my friend. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-187. Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.